Is singleness actually an option? Does the Bible have anything to say about singleness? Or is it all just about marriage? Well, it actually speaks about both. And it sees there is high value in being married. And there's high value in being single. And when we come to this passage today, in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, you'll find that Paul talks about both. But he does have a focus today on singleness and the value that it does have. Now, you'll notice in your outline, I haven't given you the whole of chapter 7, so I encourage you to go home and read the whole of it later on. So the question to marry or not to marry is important for us to look at. And it's also important, I think, for us to look at because when you look at the statistics for our great state here of New South Wales, it tells us currently that over 40% of adults over the age of 18 are single. Yes, marriage is the majority, but the singleness is quite high. So that is important. And if people are married, at least once, what often happens, though, sadly, is that towards the end of life, one of the spouses dies and then someone is single again. Maybe for a short while, maybe for a long while. So when you think about those statistics of 40%, that's what's general across our state. What do you think about inside the church? What do you think about inside this church? Would you say that we have roughly the same 40% single? Or would it actually be a lot more than that? So I think this topic for us to think about of anyone, of any age, to marry or not to marry, is important. And I think there's also another reason why this question, I think, is important. And I don't know if you've thought this or whether you've said this as a parent or a grandparent to your child or grandchild, but have you ever pushed your children or your grandchildren and say to them, you've got to find a mate, you've got to get married, you've got to give me grandkids? Ever said that? Ever thought that? Maybe not quite. Well, I'm actually hearing it fairly regularly from people. I've even had some people who I won't name who have said to me, Stephen, can you speak to my kids so that they can get married and give us grandkids? And I'm thinking, no. But sometimes we put that pressure on, don't we? Undue pressure sometimes we put on our children and our grandchildren. Because is it because we see that marriage is the only way? Is it because we have this high view, in a sense, for me, growing up, you only grow up when you get married? Or does single have value? Now, it's a good question to ask, to marry or not to marry, because we know, we think about this question, we know so many people are single. What does the Bible say? Because that's really what we're all about. When we say we love and follow God, what does He say on this topic? Well, we come to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And what we find here as we start to get into this is that a lot of what's going to be shared, the Apostle Paul says, this isn't directly from God. It's my opinion. But I want you to know that I love and follow God. I know God a lot. I know His word a lot. So the opinion I'm going to give you is a God-informed opinion. And what's the first thing he tells us? He basically says, remain as you are. Let me read to you verse 25 to 28. Now about virgins, I have no command from the Lord, but I give a judgment as one who, by the Lord's mercy, is trustworthy. See that he's saying, this is my opinion, but you should listen to it. Because of the present crisis, I think that it is good for a man to remain as he is. Are you pledged to a woman? Do not seek to be released. Are you free from such a commitment? Do not look for a wife. But if you do marry, you have not sinned. If a virgin marries, she has not sinned. But those who marry will face many troubles in life. And I want to spare you from this. So Paul turns his attention here, he says in this chapter, to virgins. But when we read that, he's talking to both male and female. He's talking to those who have not been married. He's talking to those who we could generally call single at this time. And we note here, he says this is his own opinion. He's not giving direct words from Jesus, but he knows God so well, it's a God-informed opinion. He says in verse 26, we have this present crisis. Now, what is the present crisis that this Corinthian church is going through over the last number of weeks? As we've looked at chapters 1 through to 6, you'd possibly say to me, Stephen, when are they not in crisis? What could they not have a crisis about because they've had so many crises? Well, he doesn't actually spell it out for us. But he does say in verse 28 that the married people will face troubles. In verse 29, he goes on to say that time is short. And we know that when Scripture talks about time being short and everything, and it does in a lot of places, it's talking about awaiting the return of Jesus. And then in verse 31, he says, the world as they know it is passing away. So what is this crisis? Well, it may be a specific point of persecution for the church. But I think in general, when you look at what he's saying here, he's probably just talking about the general Christian life. Now, Paul, in all his letters, he doesn't write his letters with rosy glasses on. He always talks in terms of, if you love and follow God, great, but know you're going to face challenges as you do it. That's just the world we live in. The world does not want you to follow Christ. And I think that's basically what he's talking about. As you live your Christian life, let's look at this question, to marry or not to marry. And he basically says, remain as you are. Verse 27, are you pledged to a woman? Are you engaged? Are you going to get married? Do not seek to be released. If you're going to get married, he says. Are you free from such a commitment? In other words, are you single? Are you not looking at getting married? Great. Don't get married. Remain single. Remain as you are. Now, the picture he's giving here is that married or single are both valid. Neither of them is a sin. And he says, take your time. And you don't have to rush into things. Remain as you are. When you look at living your Christian life, when you look at the challenges you face, don't just rush into marriage and think it's the be-all and end-all. Marriage and singleness are both fine. One of the pleasures I have at being a pastor is that I'm very thankful that people are willing to open their lives to me and they talk and share about their lives. And over the years, as I've heard people get ready for marriage and then later on as they've been married, I've started to find that a lot of people have what I call the marriage myths. And maybe you've heard these. Maybe you've even said these. Maybe you still think these. It's things like, all my problems in life will be fixed when I'm married. The perfect person is out there, and when I find them, they'll fix my life. My life is in limbo until I get married. Singleness is a curse. Or one that I hear, sadly, pressure put on from parents and grandparents to kids. If I don't get married, then they'll think I'm worthless. Now, all of those are myths. All of those are not true. But sadly, a lot of people look at going into marriage thinking that. But let's just think about that for a moment. When you have two people going into marriage, you have two individuals with a life of experiences behind them. In terms of, and I'm not being crass, you know that I often talk about that as the baggage we all have. So bring two people together, two individuals who have their own baggage, and then you bring them together in marriage, what happens? You've got baggage, and then you got married, and what does Paul say? There are going to be challenges in marriage. So in a way, we then have marriage baggage. And if we go into with those myths in mind that says the other person's going to fix all my baggage, sadly, I've seen that end not so well when it comes to marriage. So in a way, we understand what Paul's saying, don't we? Paul is saying, remain as you are. Take your time. Go into marriage with your eyes open. And if you want to remain single, remain single. In terms of even remaining single until you deal with your baggage, so that it's dealt with or at least honestly talked about before you head into marriage. Marriage and singleness, says Paul, is valid. But as I said right back at the beginning of this message, in this chapter, he does really focus on some of the benefits of singleness over marriage, because he talks about marriage in lots of other places in Scripture. But what are some of the advantages? Well, in verse 29 to 35, he talks about these, and he does it in terms of, as I mentioned earlier, time is short. What I mean, brothers and sisters, verse 29, is that time is short. Paul says we're in these last days. We're waiting for Jesus to return. And so the question to marry or not to marry, think about that through the lens of knowing Jesus is coming back for certain, but we don't know when. So then try to answer that question, to marry or not to marry, knowing that. Now, as we reflect on that, what's the obvious question that's going to come from that? If you know that Jesus is going to come back, the obvious thing, next question is, well, how do we live until he comes back? And what are the priorities we have in life until he comes back? And that's the question that he's going to ask here. In verse 29 to 35, he summarizes it in the last verse, and he says this: I am saying this for your own good, not to restrict you, but that you may live in a right way in undivided devotion to the Lord. Paul says whether we're single or married, we're to live in a right way in undivided devotion to the Lord. What are your priorities? When you think about your priorities today, would you say it is to live in the right way in undivided devotion to the Lord? Every single moment of every single day. Or are there other priorities? Other priorities such as education, work, making money, your health, other relationships, whatever it might be. If those are your number one priorities, we're not living out what Paul says we're to do, are we? If we are to live in a right way, in undivided devotion to the Lord, he must be the number one priority. When we make every decision, from the moment we get out of bed to the moment we go to bed at night, every decision must be made putting God first. How well do we do that? And then I want you to think about what, because see, Paul takes that and thinking, knowing that time is short, knowing that Jesus is coming back, it could be tomorrow, says Paul, or for us, it's been 2,000 years, but he's still coming back and we don't know when. But living the right way, an undivided devotion to the Lord, what are we doing with our priorities to make sure that he is first? Now, Paul is talking here and saying, if you're a single person in verse 29 to 35, you actually have an advantage here. It's actually an advantage because all you have to think about is you. When you want to come to live a life in the right way, in undivided devotion to God, if you're single, says Paul, that is easier to do. And he's right, isn't he? Now, he's not judging married people and saying married people are wrong or you shouldn't get married. But it's true, isn't it? When you think about being married, you have other initial priorities. There's your priority. There's your spouse priority. You've got priority with your children. And they're all good. And we have to have them as a priority. But doesn't it take away from putting God first in everything? Now, we would say, no, it doesn't. We always put God first. Well, we should. But realistically, because family and everything are important, they have to take up our time. And it's good time. And that's why Paul says here, if you're a single person, you don't have those added things to worry about. Therefore, it is an advantage to be single because you can live it out more easily, a single life devoted and putting God first. Everyone should do it. But he says single people will find it easier to do. What I don't want you to hear from this verse, and what I've heard a number of people tell me over the years, they look at this passage and they say, this is saying that as a married person, I don't have to serve God as much as a single one. Oh, there are things to do in church. Let the single people do it. Sounds something to laugh about. But seriously and sadly, it often happens. This chapter is not saying that. This chapter is saying whether we're single or married, our number one priority should be God, and we should be living this undivided devotion to Him. But Paul says, single people have it easier because they don't have to worry about the other relationships and the focus there. Both married and single people are valued by God. But Paul says at times it can be easier to live for God being single. When we look at our world, now just those statistics for New South Wales, the majority of the state is marriage. But it's not the only way. Singleness is highly valued by God. Singleness, says Paul, has unique advantages. What we need to do is make sure we give both marriage and singleness value in the church. Now, parents, grandparents, in a way, we need to let up on our kids and our grandkids. Now, there are lots of single people in our society today that feel that they are looked down upon because society tells them they're unfulfilled unless they're married. But God says no. God says you have equal value. You have heaps of value with Him. So your fulfillment as a single person in life doesn't depend on your marital status. It depends on loving and following God and how you live for Him. Paul says singleness and marriage, they're both important. They both have value. So don't lower one when compared to the other. But he also, in just a small way, he talks about the advantages of marriage in this chapter. In verse 1 to 9 and verse 36 to 38 at the end, he reminds them that marriage is good. He reminds them that marriage is God-ordained. He reminds them that marriage is the place where people should celebrate their sexuality. He challenges them to think, though, that he says, for all people, they face the temptation of sexual sin. And we talked more about that last week. He says, some people look at marriage as being the solution to that. I'm just going to marry anyone, and therefore I won't face that sexual temptation. But Paul says that's not the reason to get married. And it's a bit like I said earlier, we've got all our own baggage. Getting married doesn't fix our baggage. Sometimes it just heightens it. Now Paul says that marriage coming from God, marriage between believers, those who love Jesus, but you don't look at marriage as being the fix to solutions. Yes, it's the advantage of that you can live out your sexuality within that. But you don't just get married for marriage's sake, says Paul. You don't just get married to deal with temptation, that God will help you through that. Now, this passage reminds us that marriage is valuable. That marriage is great. That marriage is from God. But it's not, but that when we go into it for the right reasons. So Paul challenges them as they live their Christian lives in the town of Corinth to understand with the challenges they face because they say they love and follow Jesus, marriage isn't the answer to everything. It's good, but it's not the answer to everything. Singleness has value as well. So that whole question, to marry or not to marry? Paul says, the tendency to be, remain as you are. Go slowly. Go into things with your eyes open. Remember that singleness and marriage have advantages. Yes, he focuses more on singleness here, but there is value to marriage. The main reason he says singleness is a little bit easier than marriage, because you only have to look after yourself. You can live that life where God is number one in undivided devotion to him. So as we leave later this morning, let us remember that both singleness and marriage is valuable to God. That we shouldn't be pressuring our children, our grandchildren. When we think about our state and the number of how many single people are out there, how can we encourage them? How can we support them? How can we give them opportunities to be doing things in our church? And the same for married people. How can we get married people more involved in our church, in our community? How can we keep God as the number one priority, that for each of us, whether single or married, we live for him? How can we do that this week? Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we realize that in the midst of so many challenges that Paul can address, and we'll unpack a whole bunch more in the coming weeks, Lord, we realize that he had to take time to stop and look to an issue that was challenging and hurting their church. That they didn't know whether to handle singleness or marriage or what they needed to do. But Father, we thank you that in this world today, which is very similar, we can hear the message. Both are valuable. That let us not just rush into marriage to solve all our problems, but how can we live for you? So Lord, today, through your Spirit, whether we're single or we're married, open our eyes to better ways in which you want us to live for you. And Father, if there are areas we see where we are failing you, that where we're sinning, show us, forgive us, and then help us to live the right way. Because Lord, as we very shortly come to the communion table, we realize that you chose us. You chose us through the death and resurrection of your Son. And Father, out of thankfulness for that, we just want to live your way. So Lord, help us to do it, I pray this week, in your name. Amen.